Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Influence Mastery Call today. My name is Kurt Mortensen. It is the 3rd of August, and let's talk about some tools of persuasion. Is everyone having a good week so far? Let me ask that first. Yes? No? Maybe?
Maybe.
Anybody? Maybe. One of those weeks in May. It is August. So I'll let it go and maybe go. August is a... it's August already. Summer is almost over. But hopefully you are seeing some progress in what you are working on. And this is your call. If you have questions about things, I want you to kind of think about things you're running into. Maybe you want to, this is a time to answer your questions. It also helps the group out to kind of think through different persuasion scenarios. And it's your time to kind of get those answered. But let me talk about a few persuasion tools and some things that I notice as I coach people and I monitor a persuasive situation, some things that people tend to do. One of the big complaints, you've probably heard me say it before, is that persuaders tend to vomit on people. Okay? In fact, if you want to look at the numbers, you're probably, in most persuasive situations, you're talking 3 times too much. So first of all, it's good time management to not talk as much, know when to shut up and ask for their business. But you have to be very careful that you don't list the 100 reasons why they should buy, because when you list the 100 reasons why they should buy, you've given them 3 why they shouldn't buy. And so you really have to get into the mind of the person that you're talking to. Bottom line, it comes down to this. When you look at your product or service, what problem does it solve? So what problem can you solve that people will pay money for? What is it that your product or service does? What problem does it solve? That's all they want. They're looking for solutions, really fast solutions. See, attention spans are coming down really fast. In fact, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Up. That's a Disney movie, and they have these talking dogs, and the dogs would talk, and all of a sudden they go, squirrel. I don't know, do you remember that part? I don't know if you saw that or not. Throughout the whole movie, they'd be talking out of the blue, squirrel. And the reason I bring that up, because that's what your consumer's doing, whether they're on the internet or talking to you, or it's really hard to get them focused. And if they don't see real fast that you can solve their problem, you're going to lose out real fast. And you have to really focus in on who is your demographic. Who's the main person that wants your product or service? And the mistake a lot of us make is, well, everyone needs to learn this, or everybody needs to have this product. Everyone should be taking this nutrition, or everyone should... And that's probably true, but that's not how you work. You have to figure out, okay, who's that 20% out there that's going to buy 80% of my product or service? Is it mostly female? Is it mostly male? Is it middle-aged? Is it younger? Is it older? And that's kind of really focus on it and learn to solve that problem, because you become a doctor of persuasion. See, top persuaders ask 3 times more questions than the average persuader. They listen more. They don't talk as much. And just like the doc, when you go to a doctor, a medical doctor, they're going to ask questions. They're going to ask a lot of questions to figure out exactly what your pain is, what your problem is, and you appreciate that about your doctor. If your doctor didn't ask any questions and they just guessed and gave you prescriptions, that would be a malpractice. I've always wondered if they should have malpractice suits for people that persuade for a living, because a lot of them would be paying a lot of money. So that's what you think about. What problem are you solving? You're a persuader. You're a problem solver. Who should you be talking to? Who's that main demographic? And get them focused. So we want to listen more, ask more questions, and not vomit on people. Because the people think, if I give you 42 reasons why you should do it, one's going to work. It's like throwing darts and hoping they stick into somebody. And that is one of the worst things that you can do. So as you really look at becoming more and more persuasive, becoming more and more of a consultant, asking the right questions, finding out what their problem is, finding out what they're looking for, and realize they don't need to know everything about your product or service before they buy. Because the way the brain works is when they come to your website for the first time, or they talk to you for the first time, they're pretty much... People are so skeptical, their brain is going, they're looking for every reason why they should not do it. But then if you give them one reason, one good reason why they should, that solves their problem, now all of a sudden, mentally they want to do it, they're looking for every reason why they should do it to justify that decision, because the human brain needs to be right. They need to be, they feel like they're a good decision maker. And that's very, very important, whether it's a car. We see this too much in network marketing where people vomit or they go over the compensation plan and they confuse people. Because when you really data dump on people, you confuse them a lot of times. And a confused mind says no. They will lie to you. You'll say, do you understand that? Do you see the power in that? And they're like, well, yeah. They had no idea. They just don't want to look dumb. And that's why they'll say, I'll call back more information. They really didn't understand what you were saying. So the main thing is, what problem can you solve? And they are more than willing to pay money for you to solve their problem because they want it solved. Nobody likes to have problems. Any questions on that? Any questions about things that you're running into that you want to bring up? Anybody want to sing us a song? Anybody have a bad joke? I have a bad, want to hear a bad joke? All right, you may not like this one. This comes from my 8-year-old daughter. She comes up and says, Dad, do you want to know the two reasons you shouldn't drink out of the toilet? And I'm looking at her going, what? And she smiles and she says, number one and number two.
Oh, dear.
I thought it was funny. Okay, we're moving on. You have to think about that one. This is an 8-year-old toilet humor. All right, well, anyway, think of your questions as I think of more bad jokes. Now, the flip side of talking too much and doing the data dump is that you miss the sweet spot for you to ask for their business. They're ready to go. You have solved their problem, and you keep talking. They're ready to go. And you keep talking. You keep on vomiting all the features and benefits. And what happens, because persuasion is so emotional, you're sucking the life out of them, the emotion's leaving, and now they were ready to go 10 minutes ago, and now you ask them if they're interested, they'll say no. This happens quite a bit. A lot of presentations. You're good to go right in the middle. They would ask for your business, you'd do it, but they keep going and going and going, and they don't business. So here's the question to the group we want to talk about today. You have to remember that people buy for their reasons, not yours. People do not want love to buy, but they don't want to be sold. So the question, how do you know, what do you look for when it's time to shut up and ask for their business? Anybody, anybody? How about...
when they're agreeing with you?
Yeah, they're agreeing with you. You can see their head going up and down in the yes motion is something you're looking for. So there's two things. So let's say it's a lot. You're there face-to-face. There's physical things that you can look for. Now, if they say, how do I get started? Well, duh. you don't want to keep going. But there's other things. When you hear things like, well, that's a good deal, or that's not expensive, I could see how I could use that. Oh, I would put the piano right there. If they ask you about, well, can I take delivery in 2 weeks? Then you pretty much know that you're done. Wrap it up. Can I see the demonstration again? Tell me about that guarantee. What are your specific terms? Okay, who else has used this product or service? When you're here, those are buying questions. Can I get it in green? they're done. They've made up their mind. Those are things, so verbally, whether you're over the phone or face-to-face, you can hear specific things. Or, again, there's the approving, the husband might say something, wife might say something. That means you're close. It's time to be wrapping it up. Well, if I can get it, do you have it in green? You can say, well, if I can get it in green, you're ready to go. I mean, you can almost seal the deal right then. Do you need it in 2 weeks? I think, that's the type of thing. Demonstration, specific terms. That's a good deal. That's not expensive. Oh, I would use that here. That's great. That's exactly what we're looking for. You'd be surprised how many people miss that because they're in their presentation, they're going, they're ready to roll. Remember, you're talking three times too much, so you're looking for these. So that's kind of on the verbal side. Now, what about gestures? What type of gestures, so you're there face-to-face, do you think that would indicate that they are ready to buy.
Not even the head?
Yeah, you see the head going up and down in the yes fashion. Approving glances between a partner or spouse would be one. If they're handing you the credit card, okay, time to shut up. You don't want to say, oh, hold on, I'm not finished yet. I have 10 more minutes. If they're handing you a credit card, that would be a very obvious one. Hopefully you don't miss that one. If they keep looking at the paperwork, you kind of see a spark in their eyes. They're going to lean a little closer. They're more attentive. Their head's nodding up and down. Those are what we call buying signals. So whether you're over the phone or face-to-face, you see two or three of these, you might just say, well, do you see exactly how this will solve your problem? Yes. Great. Well, let's get started. It can literally be that easy. If they've persuaded themselves, you've gone down that process, you're making it too hard. Because a big complaint when people get to the call to action, the close, whatever you want to call it, is a lot of times the persuader's demeanor changes, and it kind of freaks the people out because you're all nervous and, you know, this is the time to ask for the money. It shouldn't surprise them that you're asking for money. I think it goes back to guys asking girls out on dates, and so they're all nervous, and they're like, oh, about the weather, and did you see this game, did you do this? And, you know, 15 minutes later, the girl doesn't want to go out anymore because the guy doesn't get the nerve to ask. And I think a lot of times that happens in persuasion where beating around the bush, and what about this, and the weather, and the gushy chit-chat stuff, and sometimes you're persuading the whole time. It's not just that last 5 minutes where you're asking for their credit card or for their business. You're doing it the whole time, and the whole presentation needs to be wrapped around that. So learn when it's time to shut up. Learn to watch them. Learn to realize that you're talking too much. You're there to help them persuade themselves, and that way you'll become a much, much better persuader. Any questions on that or things you're running into that I can help you out with? You guys are easy on me, I'll tell you. All right. The next thing we notice, and I've talked about this before, is the way you handle questions and objections. A lot of times we hear the same dumb questions, we think, but remember, it's the first time they voiced them, and they were in school once, and when someone feels like you felt the question was dumb or the objection was dumb, that will shut them up for the rest of the presentation. So you always want to thank people for questions or objections. Thank you for asking that. I appreciate it. Thanks for bringing that up. Keep the door open. But there's something that you really need to understand with objections is the studies show about 60 to 70% of the time, depending on the study, when people say it's too expensive, can't afford it, more information, talk to my spouse, that is a lie. They're lying to you. Yes, they lied to you. So how do you know? And the worst thing you can do if it's a fake objection is to solve the fake objection because it's just going to make it worse. How do you know if it's a true objection or a fake objection? Anybody? All right, then I will tell you. Now, you've always been taught to answer a question with a question. And very few people do that because they're not programmed that way. So a lot of the times you have to dig a little deeper. So this is what happens. So you finish your presentation, they're like, yeah, I need to think about it. You come back with a question, you just say, you know, great, I can understand that, and here's your question. What exactly are you going to think about? And if they say, well, everything, what does that tell you?
That's not their real reason.
No, there's other issues. You've got some digging to do. But if they say, I'm really concerned about your guarantee and how it'll affect me here, here, and here, not only is that great for you to know and that you're able to resolve, but, you know, there is something specific they're going to think about. So a lot of times you can do it with the question. A lot of times, too, if you want to look at some of the nonverbals, these what we call I can't do it objections, is A lot of times, if you're looking at them in the eye, when they lie to you, they'll look away for a second. That's one thing you can look for. A lot of times, if they're not interested in the solution, you know it's a knee-jerk reaction. If something you've already explained, it's probably a knee-jerk reaction. One thing, too, is the biggest thing you want to ask yourself, too, is does it make sense? For example, if you're doing network marketing, and you say, look, you can make an extra $10,000 a month, and you know that's a lot of money to them, and they say, well, you have to talk to your family and friends. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Who cares? If you're making an extra 10 grand a month, most people will talk to their family and friends. If they really knew it would work for them, they would do that. Or, well, hey, I'm making an extra, $12,000 a month on my real estate rentals. Yeah, but it took you 3 months of hard work. Okay, doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Well, you can make money trading stocks online. Well, you have to be in front of your computer. Okay, that doesn't make sense either. Well, you should get into real estate. Yeah, but you have to deal with renters. Okay, a lot of these are just knee-jerk things that don't make a lot of sense. Here's a big one. I know many of you are in network marketing. Well, yeah, but it's a pyramid scheme. Really? They don't even know what a pyramid scheme is. It's not even true, but that's they throw it out all the time, thinking that's a true objection. And that's, I would say, 99.9% of the time, that is not the true objection. And you have to really think, does it make sense? Now, the other, say, 40% of the time, it's a true objection. In fact, let me give you a little formula here with objections. So, first of all, now you've figured out it's a true objection. Let me give you a little kind of a step-by-step that you can practice to solve it. Now, the first question you ask when someone has an objection is, can you solve it? If they're going bankrupt and have no credit cards, then, that's not something that you can solve, and you'd probably have to move on. If they're moving out of the country and you wanted them to have a gym membership, you can't solve those type of things. So that's the first thing. Can you solve this objection? Sometimes you can't. The next one is, let them finish. When you cut someone, so you've heard the same objection 112 times, and you want to cut them off to save time. I've told you this before. Let them finish. Thank them for it. Thank you. And then solve it. Even have a kind of a little pause there. And then restate it. So you want to restate their objection. Make sure, again, it's true. So you're saying that you don't feel like you have the time. And then, don't be condescending here. I know you're not trying to be, but a lot of times when I interview people, is that you're being a little condescending the way you answer it. And you never want to back them into a corner. You want to give them room to save face. So the main thing here is, can you solve it? Let them finish. Restate it. And while you restate it, compliment them. And in the process, again, don't be condescending. The way you answer it and bring it up, even because a lot of times with persuaders, they've answered it so many times, and they're so tired that nobody gets it. But if you're getting the same objections over and over again, it's not them, it's you. And your goal, of course, is to always pre-solve objections if you can. That's your main goal. If you can learn to pre-solve objections, that's powerful, because a lot of old-school persuasion texts will say, oh, objections are good, they indicate interest. And no, because when someone has an objection in the middle of your presentation, it's like hitting a brick wall. They've stopped mentally. They're stuck. You keep going, and they're stuck. And you need to be able to see that in their eyes, and also, if you can, try to solve it within your presentation before it even comes up. Okay? Little formula on objections. Any questions on that? Go ahead.
Being able to determine that it's a true objection.
So how do you determine if it's a true objection?
Yeah.
First off, you've asked them another question, and they said something specific. Yeah, that 2 hours a week concerns me, or this guarantee concerns me, or selling this to my wife concerns me. Now you know exactly what it is. So if they've had an objection, you've asked it a question, they've come back with a legitimate response, then you know it's probably legitimate, and that's when you kind of go in and ask them. And The important thing is the restate. Because sometimes they come up, people will say things, and when you restate it, it doesn't quite sound right. It's not quite what they meant. That's why you kind of put it in your own words. So you're saying that you don't think you can free up an extra 3 hours a week to do this. So, yeah, I'm pretty busy right now at 3 hours a week. Well, great. And then you kind of go ahead and solve it. Any other questions?
Is there a way to tell if their questions are from like preconceived concepts of what you're asking them to do, particularly in network marketing? You mentioned pyramid, and you know they've had friends who've done things like this before and not worked out.
Yeah, that would be, we call it an inoculation where you're pre-solving objections and it will bring up network marketing. Now, that you would just want to solve that ahead of time. You would say something like, well, I want to talk about this and, you know, it's not a pyramid scheme, and just kind of smile. So it's funny, those who aren't educated about network marketing think, they really haven't done a lot of research, they think it's a pyramid scheme. And, of course, we know that it's not. The government would allow it to happen. You solve that ahead of time, so they're never going to bring that up, are they?
Even though that may be their real objection.
But is it real? They don't even know what that means. They just heard it somewhere. and now when you talk about network marketing, when you hear it's too expensive, can't afford it, and all this other stuff, usually you have to get deeper to the true objection. The true objection for most people is they can't see themselves doing it.
Yeah.
They can't see themselves talking to their family and friends. They'll never say that, but they'll come up with all these other things. So when people get it's too expensive in network marketing, a lot of times people, they'll compare it to a franchise. You know, when you get into a Subway, it's a couple $100,000. Now you get a business for $500, and you've built the value. So they can never say it's too expensive because the way you've built the value, you've pre-solved that objection. Even if they can't afford it, they'll never say it's too expensive because this is worth $200,000. It's comparable to something that's big. So you have to decide, are they comparing your business to a Rolls Royce or are they comparing it to a used car? And those are the type of things that you want to pre-solve.
And getting back to the, they can't see themselves doing it. How do you go about turning their thoughts around on that? It has to all be within your presentation, or is it more of, and I'll use the word, the enthusiasm or the excitement in your voice as to a lot of testimonials or how do you turn them around on that idea they think they can't or don't see themselves doing it?
Obviously the passion and energy is going to be important in the testimonials. Now, if you're going to use testimonials, which is good, it has to be something that they can relate to. You know, I didn't want to join another network marketing company, and I saw this, and I didn't want to talk to my family and friends, but when I found out, when I followed the system and did this, all of a sudden I was making $2,000 a week, and they can say, hey, and that kind of is very persuasive to them, because someone in their same situation who had the same doubts, who didn't think they could do it, made it happen. And a lot of times with network marketers, sometimes you have to give people the option. Say, well, you can talk to your family and friends, but we also have this way to, you know, market on the internet or to work your warm market or to work a cold market. And I built a network marketing company that way. I said, you're not allowed to talk to your family and friends. People loved it.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a challenge for a lot of people in network marketing because they're brand new. They're sent to talk to their family and friends. They know next to nothing. And then Uncle Frank says, really? You joined a pyramid scheme? You were raised better than that. And they put their tail between their legs, and they go home, and they never do it again because nobody ever managed their expectations or gave them the tools to refute that. I'd rather you get people successful doing other things with the network marketing, but expectation management is an important part. In fact, I've done seminars before, and we train people how to do it, and we would give them a list of 100 names to practice on, and I would tell them, no one's going to be interested. This is just for practice. And guess what they found? A couple would be interested. Versus if they think all 100 are going to be interested, then it takes all the air out of their tires and you have a whole different scenario. So part of that's the expectation management, and let them say, okay, well, this is how we do you, can you answer emails? Well, good. Then you can do this. Can you read a script? Oh, you can do this. Can you hand somebody a DVD? Then you can do this. And if you just break it down into small steps for them, then it doesn't seem as overwhelming for them.
And so I guess your challenge is to try to determine at what point you're vomiting on them and what point you're giving them some constructive information.
And that's where the questions come in. Yeah, you have to draw that line. I just go to some people and say, tell me, what does the perfect home-based business look like to you? And shut up. Well, tell me more about that. That's interesting. Well, what are your concerns about home-based businesses? Have you had what are your experiences with network marketing in the past? You've seen other people made it work. You're asked the question. So when you say, what does the perfect home-based business look like to you? They tell you, and you say, well, that's what I got. Right? It can't be that simple. Well, that's what we got right here. Well, let me show you it. You know, have you tried it in the past? What were your concerns? What didn't work for you? What scares you about it? You know, okay, well, let me tell you why it's different and what we have and why I'm so excited about it. It can be that simple. Instead of vomiting on them, just say, well, what does that look like? You know, if a genie came and made everything look perfect, what would that look like to you? Well, it was a perfect day. And just listen. Here's the dirty little secret. No, I guess it's not dirty. When you can listen, they'll tell you everything you need to know to persuade them. Why shoot in the dark when they'll tell you everything you need to know? And it sounds so simple, but very few people do it.
It's the art of asking the right question.
Exactly. Listening with your ears, your eyes, and your heart, asking the right questions, becoming a consultant, not a salesperson. And, you know, that's a big piece right there. All right, good question. Any other questions out there before we break off? The recording, of course, will be at ywhypersuasion.com. There's also a form there to ask any questions that you have. We are gearing up for going to the GoToWebinar type things in September, so all that information will be there. When we get geared up to do that and notify everybody about that. So you're going to take one thing to work on. I want you to really start reading people and try to figure out, is that a fake objection or a real objection? That's when, again, most of the time it's going to be fake, to ask those right questions. Well, what do you need to talk about? And just really try to dig deep, because you're so concerned about what to say next, you're missing a lot of these clues. Lot of these clues. You know, even if it's too expensive, you might want to surprise a little bit. Oh, wow, I'm surprised. Compared to what? You know, you say that in a sincere way. If you have a good relationship, well, everything, you know that it's not a price thing. You know, thinking over all those, I'm too busy. Well, I'm too busy. Well, how much time were you expecting to spend on this business? A lot. That's when you know it's a knee-jerk reaction. So try to get a feel for that. Work through it this week, and we will be back next week. All right?
One question.
So everybody have... Yeah, go ahead.
We more or less checked in. We just got a box yesterday of some CDs or DVDs and a workbook, and I was kind of wondering what order... It is best to start digging into this stuff, and at what rate?
Well, the rate is as much as you can handle. There should be a letter there as far as what to go first, but I always recommend to go through the Magnetic Persuasion program first.
I didn't see the letter. Okay, Magnetic Persuasion?
Yeah, start going through and getting on the laws of persuasion, kind of to get in that foundation. And then from there, you can kind of go through the list as far as the different things that you'd be working on. And also, too, if you want to zap me an email on whypersuasion.com, or if there's certain things that you're running into that are challenging, I can recommend an audio, and we can go through it. And
one more question. On these pre-recorded messages, I believe we were supposed to listen to one last week, but one of us wasn't available. So can we listen to those repeatedly, or what's the story on that?
You can. They'll probably switch the recording sometime tonight for this one. So if you want to get it, you can download them and keep them. So yeah. So there's only 1 week at a time, but you can download them and listen to them. So if you go right to whitepersuasion.com now, you get download last week's before this recording replaces it.
Okay. Well, thanks. I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah. And, of course, if there's any questions or comments, I think that's the website, too. Zap me a question, and I'll be happy to answer. If there's something you want me to go over on a call, we can do that, too. That's what this is all about, is just kind of talk of a few tools, what you can apply this week. And if there's things that you're running into, we can talk about it as a group, too, because it helps everyone on the call.
Is on the Why Persuasion, where do we go to get the we just hit that website. I don't want to keep you, but where do we go on there to find that?
It's right. It should be the first thing that pops up, isn't it? WHY?
Well, let's see. It says Kurt Mortensen's Weekly Influence Recording, Recording Download, AXPX. Is that it?
Yeah, you should just be able to click on the link.
Okay.
And take you right to it. Right under the date?
Recording Download link. Right click on
the
link.
There's two. You have two options. You can download the link, or you can just listen to it through a phone line.
Okay. All right, so we can download it, right? All right.
Click on that. Right. I'll take you right to it. Just test it.
All right.
It. Yep.
Thank you very much.
You bet. You're so welcome. All right, everyone, have a great week. And go out there and have massive success. Do try this out this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. We'll see you.
Bye.
Don't drink out of the toilet.
Why?
Yeah. Number one and number two.